Welcome back, MTN Giants Podcast. Today, on March 5th, was the franchise tag deadline, so we know right now who was going to be a free agent and who was brought back by their respective teams. For the Giants, they did not franchise tag either guy, and by that I mean Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney, who obviously were the two most likely guys to be franchise tagged. We knew Barkley was not going to be tagged for a while. I think Joe Shane kind of alluded to that in one of his press conferences recently. But for Xavier McKinney, a 24-year-old safety coming off his one of his best years, definitely one of his two best years, 24 years old once again, he's a guy who in most cases would be retained or at least franchise tagged. But surprisingly, I would say it was kind of surprising, the Giants do not decide to put any type of franchise tag on Xavier McKinney, meaning he will hit the free agent market on, I believe, Monday is when the free agency signings can be announced. Or it's the 11th. Is that Monday? Tuesday? Monday? Monday. Yes, I was right the first time. So Monday the 11th, we'll start hearing free agents go to different teams. But the Giants are playing maybe a dangerous game here, but we'll talk about everything. There's a lot I want to touch on in this video or in this podcast. There's the McKinney news, the Saquon news, the Giants cut some guys, Darren Waller is contemplating retirement, there was the Russell Wilson got released news, does that make sense for the Giants, a lot of J.J. McCarthy buzz for the Giants, and some other stuff, you know, talk about Malik Nabers versus Roman Dunze, and talk about which guy I prefer more if the Giants went in that direction, so hope you all enjoy the video. Of course, leave a like and let's get into it. All right, so let's just go through every big franchise tag decision that teams made. So guys that were franchise tagged were T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr., Justin Madubuike, Josh Allen, Brian Burns, Legarius Sneed, Jalen Johnson, and Antoine Winfield Jr. A transition tag was placed on Kyle Duggar by the Patriots, so that's interesting, but it's a cheaper way to do it. Guys that were not tagged, and two of these guys are Giants, Saquon Barkley, Chris Jones, Christian Wilkins, and Xavier McKinney. Christian Wilkins kind of surprises me. I know Miami has some guys to pay coming up, but he's a guy who's in his mid-20s and has been good for them, so I'm a little surprised. He was a teammate of Dexter Lawrence back in college, so I don't think it'll happen with the Giants for Christian Wilkins, but you never know, I guess, but that'd be interesting. Anyway, so my thoughts on the McKinney thing, Joe Shane's been a lot more cutthroat in this offseason as compared to last year. It felt like last year Joe Shane was kind of like walking on eggshells and was afraid to make the right or make the wrong decision that was not popular with people, and he kind of just did the opposite here. I feel like maybe last year's version of Joe Shane just franchise tags Xavier McKinney and maybe they get like a three-year deal done with Saquon Barkley. But this time he's telling these guys like, hey, we're going to just see what the market dictates and go from there, which I don't blame them for. And what the Giants have going for them, and I understand McKinney is 24 and he's coming off, once again, arguably his best year. But what the Giants have going for them is that this safety class is really good in free agency. And if the Giants were to lose a guy like Xavier McKinney, it would suck, but it's also not the end of the world. So I mentioned that Winfield Jr. and somebody else was tagged, right? Some other safety? No? Oh, Kyle Duggar. So Kyle Duggar technically also tagged. But aside from that, guys like Cameron Curl, Geno Stone, Julian Blackman, who I talked about last video, love that guy, Jordan Fuller, Jordan Whitehead, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Deshaun Elliott, even like a Darnell Savage, I like Mike Edwards, he's obviously not a McKinney-level player, even like a Jeremy Chinn, very interesting, he was great his first 2 years, just kind of fell out of favor with the defensive coordinator there in Carolina last year, but there are some good safeties on the market, so if McKinney were to go somewhere on a big contract and the Giants felt that it wasn't worth matching it or they just didn't feel that was the number that was, you know, that they felt he was worth, then maybe he does leave and the Giants settle for another guy in this area who, you know, may not be as good as McKinney, but the drop-off will not be too severe. We're not going from McKinney to Antoine Bethea in 2019. Like, it's not that level of drop-off. So, you know, it is a new defensive coordinator as well, so it's not the same exact system he's been playing in the past 2 years. So there's different things here, and maybe the Giants do prioritize different positions. Maybe they want a big pass rusher. Maybe they want Danielle Hunter. Maybe that's their guy they want. Maybe they want Michael Onwenu. You know, maybe they want Robert Hunt. Like, there could be other guys on their board that are above Xavier McKinney. And I know he's a guy who has been a Giant and has familiarity with this team, but the Giants may just value those three guys and maybe some other guys I haven't even named higher than McKinney. So, you know, it's part of being a GM. You have to set a price, and Joe Shane's talked about that. And, you know, if you can meet in the middle somewhere, that's great. But if McKinney's asking for an astronomical amount, then so be it. And we'll see if some other team out there gives him that amount. But he will be attractive to other teams. I mentioned that there's a lot of good safeties in this class, or in this free agency class, I should say. But he is 24, and I feel like some guys coming out of the draft are like 22, 23. So to get a player at McKinney's age and at his talent level without giving up a draft pick and just having that cost money, and obviously cap space is an asset, but to just have that cost cap space is a lot more intriguing than giving up like a first or a second round pick. So we'll see what happens with McKinney, but if the Giants let him walk and they replace him with a Cameron Curl, with a Geno Stone, especially a Julian Blackman, I'm not going to feel too bad about it. I think maybe we overrate McKinney sometimes, but I will admit the guy played his ass off the second half of the year. He was probably a top five safety the second half of the year. But once again, this is not Kyle Hamilton or Antoine Winfield Jr. This is Xavier McKinney. So he's not on that tier. He's a bit below those guys, but still, it'd be a guy you have to replace, obviously. For Saquon Barkley, he kind of runs into a similar issue, how the running back class this year is probably the best running back class we've seen in a very long time. So for Saquon, it's a bad time to hit the market probably. There's been rumors about him going to the Texans, which maybe that happens. The Giants are still in play for Saquon. Like, I don't think today was the final nail in the coffin for Saquon's Giant career. Obviously, I'm fine letting him go because I kind of prefer just to draft a guy or just spend on someone cheaper in free agency. But as I was saying, there's other good backs in free agency. There is Josh Jacobs. There's Derrick Henry, who is 29. There's Tony Pollard. There's Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins coming off the Achilles. Singletary had a good year in Houston. A.J. Dillon, Zach Moss. Like, these guys had good years last year. So, you know, obviously Saquon is probably the best back out there right now. Depends how you view Derrick Henry in 2024. But, you know, he's still the best back on the market. But we know about how the running back market goes these days, and Saquon will not be getting a 4 or 5 year deal by any means. I highly doubt it. So if the Giants let him walk, it's not the end of the world. But if it's Saquon versus some other crappy running back, I'd obviously take Saquon. But price definitely plays a factor in this. So if the Giants were to lose Saquon and McKinney in this offseason, it would suck. But it's not the end of the world. It's really not. Like, they can replace those guys with guys that are at their level or just a step below their level for a cheaper price. So if they lost both of them, it is what it is. But there's other good replacements, so I'm not going to be stressing too much about it. Some other stuff to get to. They cut Mark Lewinsky, saves about $5.5 million. When they signed Lewinsky, I was pretty excited. I thought he'd be a guy who would just hold down that right guard spot for 2 or 3 years and be a guy who is not perfect, but we wouldn't have to worry about him. And obviously, whether it was the age or Bobby Johnson or something, like, he just was not that good here. So it was a bad free agency signing. It was Joe Shane's first, I don't want to say big free agency signing because he wasn't signed for that much, but Joe Shane's first semi-decent commitment in free agency was Mark Lewinsky, and it didn't go so well. So I wish him the best of luck going forward, but the Giants obviously made the right move here. Darren Waller, this is interesting. So Darren Waller contemplating retirement. So this did not come out until after I made my last Giants podcast. So when I saw this, I was a bit surprised. I guess it's not the most shocking thing in the world. Darren Waller is now, is he 31, 32? I think he might be 32 now. So he is 31. I'm trying to see when his birthday is. He'll be 32 early next season. September 13th is his birthday. So for Darren Waller, I mean, I get it. The guy has been through a lot the past few years with these hamstring injuries and whatnot. And to start out the year, I mean, Waller was playing good football. I want to see what his stats were the first few weeks. But I remember, like, up until that Jets game when he got hurt, Waller was playing good football. Like, I had him on my fantasy teams everywhere because I was buying into the hype, which I shouldn't have. But I would say the first 4 or 5 weeks, he was playing good or playing well. Even more, it was the first 7 weeks. So through the first 7 games of the year, and once again, this is like the quarterback carousel. You had Tyrod and Daniel Jones playing at this point, and the Giants had a crappy offense, to put it nicely. To that point, he was averaging 5 catches and 54 yards per game. That would put him on pace for 85 catches and 923 yards for a full season. So Darren Waller, the first almost half of the year up until that injury versus the Jets, which was another hamstring, the guy was playing pretty well. But I think the cons outweigh the pros at this point with Darren Waller. I think if it were up to me, which it's not obviously, but my preference is that he just retires and gives the Giants that cap space back, because he is he's a $14 million cap hit this year. So I'd prefer Waller to just retire. And, you know, I think it'd be better for the Giants to spend that money elsewhere. But if he does come back, the chances that he makes it through a full season are so slim that I almost just have no reliance on him whatsoever. It's kind of like how the Yankees view Giancarlo Stanton, like how Brian Cashman said injuries are just a part of his career. And the Giants should view Darren Waller the same way. Injuries are just a part of his career. It's sad, but it's the truth. Same thing with my Nets and Ben Simmons. It's a horrible situation. So these guys under big contracts, they're just there. They're not durable. They're not reliable, but they're there. And you know, Darren Waller at some points, unlike Ben Simmons and, you know, Giancarlo Stanton has his moments, of course, but Darren Waller showed us some flashes last year that he is still a really good receiving tight end. He may not be a top five guy like he once was, but good enough. Like, I would say a top 10 receiving tight end for Darren Waller before he got hurt last year. So it's a shame, but if he retires, it's understandable, of course. I wanted to touch on this Daniel Jones / Russell Wilson thing that came out yesterday. So if you missed the whole Rich Eisen report that came out yesterday, I think it was yesterday, he basically had like a segment of like the top five takeaways or top five rumors at the combine. And I think number three for him was the Giants are done with Daniel Jones and that they have buyer's remorse, which obviously makes a ton of sense. And to hear a guy like Rich Eisen say that, it is pretty reassuring because he's a pretty reliable source, I would say. But it did frustrate me because I sat in this chair last year and advocated just not to give Jones that contract and let the market dictate what he's worth. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But a possible replacement for Jones, and I mean, Jones is still going to be on the roster. It depends how healthy he is, and do the Giants even want to play him this year with the potential injury risk? I don't even know. But a potential option and a guy who at one point has shown interest in playing for New York is the former Bronco and former Seahawk, Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson was cut by the Broncos, which was a bit surprising. We knew it was going to happen, especially when he was benched last year. But the Broncos are taking on $85 million in dead cap, which is an NFL record by twice the previous amount. The other previous amount, highest, was Matt Ryan back in like 2020. He was $40.5 million of dead cap space. And Russell Wilson's 85. 85 to 40.5. It's just crazy. So Russ is 35 right now. He turns 36 in November. For Russell Wilson, he is getting $39 million from the Broncos in 2024 based on his contract. So Russell Wilson is not going to hit the market in all likelihood looking for just money. I think for him, and he said this on a podcast recently too, I forget who it was. It might have been Cam Newton or someone he was talking to, but he is looking more for a playing opportunity as compared to a big contract. I think Russ realizes at 35 years old that he's not going to get some big 5, 6, 7 year contract, and it is what it is. But once again, he's still making $39 million next year regardless. So he can play for a minimum deal next year and still make over $40 million. So if you're Russell Wilson, all you have to do is pick what you think is the best situation for you and for your playing time, and most importantly, for your family. Now, we know about Russell Wilson and his marriage to Sierra, and there's been reports that Sierra and Russ have wanted to play in the New York market for a while, and this could be the perfect time. I mean, if you can get Russell Wilson on a one-year minimum for about $2 million, why wouldn't you? You know, like, I think most people are aware at this point that the whole Daniel Jones thing is over. Now, if the Giants want to draft a quarterback in April and take that guy in the first round, which obviously a first-round quarterback is going to play more times than not, like, it's very rare to have an Aaron Rodgers or a Mahomes situation where a guy sits the bench the entire year. So if the Giants are planning on going quarterback, then yeah, they probably don't sign Russell Wilson. But let's say the Giants love the top three quarterbacks but can't get one of them, and they don't force a quarterback pick, and they go with Malik Nabers or something, right? Then the Giants quarterback room is still an injured Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito, and Tyrod Taylor is a free agent. So if those are your two choices, DeVito and Jones, and you're not drafting a rookie quarterback this year, why wouldn't you take Russell Wilson for a one-year, $2 million deal? I don't see the downside. I really don't. Like, if it was a multi-year deal, obviously it's very risky. But a one-year minimum for a quarterback of Russell Wilson's his skill set, who had over 3,000 passing yards, 26 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions, a 66 completion percentage, and 340 rushing yards last year in 15 games, I'll take that for the minimum. Like, I will take that. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, the Giants. I believe there are a lot of other teams that are heavier favorites to get Russ than the Giants are. Teams like the Steelers, the Raiders, the Falcons, the Patriots are like the favorites to sign him. The Giants are at plus 3,000. So it seems like a long shot, but if I'm the Giants and I'm not drafting a quarterback this year or don't expect to, I would take a look at it. I really would. There was that report. Yeah, this was an article from 2019, but the article said last year of Russell Wilson's contract, his wife would prefer New York because Seattle is not an entertainment mecca. Obviously, New York is. So we'll see. It just depends what they want to do in April. Obviously, you're not going to, you know, sign Russ and then draft Jaden Daniels or draft Drake May or draft McCarthy. Like, that would not make sense. Those two things do not add up. So we'll see. Maybe Russell Wilson waits to sign until after the draft to see exactly what the quarterback landscape is like around the league. That would make sense to me, but that's up to him, obviously. Anyway, it was crazy to see that report about Jones and how the Giants are kind of just done with him. To me, it's good news because I can't stand Daniel Jones, obviously, but it's just a shame that he's making this much money this year to, like, not even be a part of their, even, like, their intermediate future. Like, that, not intermediate, their immediate future, not intermediate. But, you know, the fact that they signed him to a four-year deal and a year later he's not even a part of their immediate future is pretty crazy. But that's just how it went. It was a worst-case scenario type of thing. Another thing I wanted to touch on was the status of J.J. McCarthy and possibly going to the Giants. So in this tweet by Monty on Twitter, X, he said that the Giants were plus 2,200 just a week ago as the 10th most likely team to draft J.J. McCarthy. But today, or this was April, not April 25th, that's the day of the draft. This was on March 4th, so yesterday. So on March 4th, the Giants were the number one most likely team to draft J.J. McCarthy at plus 500. The Broncos were plus 600, so are the Vikings, so are the Falcons, and the Patriots and Raiders are on the bottom. So right now, or as of yesterday, I didn't check myself, but this is pretty interesting. But the Giants are the favorites to draft J.J. McCarthy, which some Giants fans think that that would be Daniel Jones 2.0. Personally, I don't view it like that. I really don't. Like, I remember even before all the media and the opinions, like, I just like to sit down and watch these guys and ask myself, how do I feel? How do I like this player? Not that I'm a scout or know anything, but I like to formulate my own opinions without people already saying stuff like, oh, McCarthy sucks, or oh, Daniel Jones sucks. Like, I like to just sit there and just, once again, formulate my own opinion. So when I sat and watched McCarthy for the first time, I liked what I saw. I did. I even went on Twitter and said, why is this guy not in the quarterback three conversation? And since that time, his stock has risen. He won the national championship. And you hear some people that cover the NFL say that they would be surprised if he's not a top 10 pick. And to me, it's not a surprise because McCarthy, forget the winning pedigree and playing in a pro-style offense. The guy just turned 21 in January. So throughout most of the season last year, he was 20 years old. So that's very young compared to Jaden Daniels and who's the other guy? Penix, Bo Nix, obviously. Bo Nix probably 24. But he's like the youngest quarterback in this class, basically, or one of the youngest. And he's not perfect. I will say, J.J. McCarthy is not perfect. I would not sit here and say that. The issues I have with him are he doesn't throw with a lot of touch. The problem with McCarthy is everything he does is like a fastball. And there's some situations where you don't need fastballs. There are some times where you just need to loft a perfect pass. And McCarthy doesn't always do that, which is frustrating. So he does that not too well right now. And I think sometimes with his stride, especially on deep balls, he tries to like just overcompensate and his just base is so wide. Obviously, I think it's fixable. The guy just turned 21. So if you get him around a quarterback guru, hopefully, and Brian Daboll and even Mike Kafka, then hopefully they can fix that and give him a throwing platform that's more natural and give some better loft on that deep ball. So there are some things about McCarthy that do concern me. But as an athlete, as an intermediate passer, as a guy who can throw on the run, he has great velocity. He's good at avoiding sacks. He's good over the middle. He's still very young, very coachable. And I saw, like, speaking of the velocity, I saw that McCarthy had one of the six fastest throws at the NFL Combine. I'm sure you guys know, like, every year at the Combine, they have quarterbacks basically throw a ball against the wall and see who can throw the ball the hardest or throw the ball the fastest. And McCarthy threw at 61 miles per hour in the draft. And I believe there's a list of some other guys that have done that before. And it was like, I saw Logan Thomas on there. I saw Joe Milton on there. Obviously, his arm is crazy. Josh Allen was on there. Might have been Andrew Luck, I forget. But like, there were some good names on there. So one of six quarterbacks to ever throw over 61 miles per hour on the velocity readings, which, once again, it's not the end-all, be-all. Any player that has a big arm can go up there and throw the ball fast. It's about how accurate can you be and can you throw with touch, which, once again, is a big question. But I do not think that this is Daniel Jones 2.0. I really don't. Like, I don't look at McCarthy the same way I did Daniel Jones. When I watched Jones at Duke, before all the opinions of him came out, I watched him back in like late 2018 or something. And I was like, yeah, you know, I always said this on this channel a long time ago. I was like, this guy reminds me of Alex Smith. Like, he's just an Alex Smith type of guy. He's not terrible, but he's not that good either. Like, he's fine. Like, he has an Alex Smith level of ceiling. He goes about as far as the guys around him go. And obviously the Giants have not surrounded Jones with a great team. And when the Niners had bad teams around Alex Smith early in his career, he was not that good. Luckily for him, the leash on quarterbacks was much longer as compared to it is today. But anyway, when I watched McCarthy at first, I liked what I saw. I like his throwing motion for the most part. He has a quick release. He's an underrated athlete. He can move. He throws a decent deep ball. It could be a bit more accurate, obviously. The accuracy is good over the middle. There's things about him that I like. He has good size. So if the Giants took McCarthy, would I be absolutely thrilled? No. It wouldn't be like if the Giants took Anthony Richardson last year, I would have been thrilled. That was like my guy. I loved Richardson, but I just like McCarthy. I don't love McCarthy. I just like McCarthy. So if the Giants did it, I'm not going to like go crazy about it in a bad way. I'll be like, all right, that's cool. Like, I could see him being a pretty good quarterback one day, and he gets to work with Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka once again, so I'll take it. Jordan Ronan on his podcast said that the Giants are very much into Drake May, but probably cannot get him because they finished with a too good of a record, which, you know, goes back to the whole should you root for losses thing, which I get into arguments with people all the time about. But anyway, he also said, Jordan, that trading to number 4 is more likely than trading into the top 3. And that's pretty interesting, because if that's the case, then you would have to think that the Patriots are going to take a quarterback, because if the Pats don't go quarterback, unless they think Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, you know, that guy, which maybe they do, then why wouldn't the Patriots trade out of number 3? But once again, maybe they just want Marvin Harrison Jr. that badly. I don't know. This was a few days ago, but Benjamin Albright also confirmed that the Giants were trying to trade into the top 3. So there are rumors going around that the Giants want to trade highly in this draft. I mean, they're picking 6. It's pretty high anyway, but get even higher. So I think by this point, whether it's a complete lie and a smokescreen, it seems like at this point that the Giants are very much into drafting a quarterback this year. If that's the case, I wish that they lost some more games and were picking in the top 3. You know, you see different rumors of maybe Jaden Daniels falls, but, you know, Jaden Daniels, there's a lot to like, but there's a lot you can pick at too about like how he doesn't. He played with like great wide receivers, obviously. Like the two receivers at LSU, Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, they're so freaking good. Like, I watched Brian Thomas. This is before the combine, even. I loved him. Like, Brian Thomas, I was like, I probably wouldn't take him at 6, but if I was picking, like, outside the top 10, I would take him. Like, Brian Thomas is very good, in my opinion. Malik Nabers, if it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr., he'd be my wide receiver 1. I love Malik Nabers myself. So he had 2 great wide receivers, but there are other concerns. Like, Malik Nabers will sometimes, not Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels will sometimes miss the easy throws. He just won't see them. Sometimes he like tucks and runs too quickly. So there's things that are fixable, but you don't want to run into like, you know, you don't want to have like a Justin Fields situation where a guy can't process the game a few years into his career. Like, you don't want to have that happen, obviously. So you have to be confident that the guy that you're drafting, whether it's Jaden Daniels or just somebody else, that they can improve their processing and know where to go with the ball and look at multiple reads. So that is the concern. That's pretty much what I wanted to cover for the quarterback section and McKinney and Saquon and all those guys. I also wanted to bring this up, and I'm pretty sure he's a free agent, but obviously with the way the Giants defense is going to be set up next year, where they're going to want some bigger guys, like, they're going to have Aziz on the roster and Kayvon, but I feel like the Giants at this point with Shane Bowen are going to want some bigger defensive linemen. And I know that there was a big defensive lineman out there I wanted to talk about. He was a first round pick by the Saints a few years back. What the hell was his name? Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport is a big dude. He's 6'6", 265. And he, a couple years ago, was very good, but his play has fallen off in recent years. He's 27. I know everybody wants another Vikings pass rusher in Danielle Hunter, but I'm just saying, if they can get Davenport, I feel like that's a pretty good scheme fit, and he's still in his prime at 27, so if you can get him for a one-year deal, I'm all for that. His projected contract is 1 year, $5 million, so very affordable, but we'll see. I just wanted to bring his name up because I've always liked him, but in recent years, he has not been that great. So anyway, I wanted to talk about the discussion between Rome Odunze and Malik Nabers and which guy I prefer more. And I already gave it away, but I'm going to go into it like more in depth. So for Odunze, like, he's very smooth. Like, even like the gauntlet drill he did, it was like the smoothest looking guy I probably saw in the combine. But there's things about him that I also can pick at. Like, the yards after catch is not great. Like, when I think of the Giants, what I really want the Giants to have is a guy they can throw a screen to and the guy can take it 60 yards. I'm sure Rome Odunze can do that, but when I think of a guy that is probably the best at that in this class, it's Malik Nabers. And like, it's not just that, but I just like Malik Nabers more. I gotta be honest. But Odunze has great hands. He can change his speed very well, stop on a dime. 6'3", 215, so good size, and he can still take a top off of defense, has good enough speed. And there was a clip of him, he was trying to get like a faster three cone score, so I think somebody tweeted that he literally stayed after the combine was over to try and get a better score on the three cone drill, and I did like that. Like, I feel like that is the type of mindset where you were going to push yourself to, you know, you versus you type stuff. Like, I do like that mindset by him. There are things about Odunze I like, obviously. He's really good. But Malik Nabers, for me, the explosiveness is eye-popping. The guy can be so good with yards after the catch and breaking tackles. Like, he's not the same size, and he's not as good of a tackle breaker as this guy. But watching him sometimes reminded me of Deebo Samuel with the ball in his hands, which might be a crazy comparison, but that's just how I felt sometimes. But for Nabers, his acceleration, change of direction, it's amazing. Like, his acceleration might be the best in the class. If he's used like an Amon-Ra St. Brown, like someone like that, if he's used in the slot, and obviously St. Brown is used everywhere, but if they just get him like 10 touches per game or even more, I feel like Nabers is going to be so freaking good. And I mean, you know, Nabers isn't perfect. There's some times with him where, like, it should be a hands catch, but it'll catch with his body. Like, stuff like that. Sometimes attacking the ball on a 50-50 ball is not the best. But for the most part, I think Nabers is pretty damn flawless. So, if the Giants do not go quarterback and take Nabers at 6, I think I'll be happy with it. Obviously, I want a quarterback. But if they hypothetically signed Russell Wilson and then drafted Nabers at 6... I feel like that's fine. You know, I mean, I would love a quarterback, but it may not happen. Picking at 6 is not the same as picking at 3 or 2. Once again, I love Brian Thomas Jr. as well, another LSU guy. Probably would not take him at 6. If the Giants were to shockingly take him at 6, I'd probably be the most, like, probably the most calm about it in the fan base because I love Brian Thomas, but still might be a bit of a reach. I'd probably trade down first if I was going to do that. But anyway, I think that'll do it. I meant to say, I do think Nabers is closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. than Odunze is closer to Nabers. Like, I do think the gap from 1 to 2 is closer than 2 to 3. That's how I feel about it. So anyway, pretty much all I got. I think I hit every note in this little thing I typed up here. So we'll see what happens with McKinney. Free agency starts on Monday. I mean, it officially starts on Wednesday, I think, but stuff will be announced on Monday. So whenever the big Giants news hits, I'll make a video, make a podcast. I'll talk to you guys in a week from now, probably, maybe 6 days. So I'm just hoping that Joe Shane has a good offseason because he needs it. His first two were, you know, not too great. The first draft is not looking too good right now. I like Wandale still. I have hope for Kayvon. I have some hope for Evan Neal, but so far it has not been that great. This is a big year three for him, and we'll see what happens. I do think that with another bad season here like last year, that their jobs may be on the line. So obviously, this 2024 offseason is big for Brian Daboll and for Joe Shane. So we'll see what happens. Hope you all enjoyed the video. I'll talk to you guys next week, and hopefully they make some good signings, but we'll see what happens.